reading of the Word of God. And our reading this morning will be very, very brief on the reading of our text. And probably won't be long in the message as well. And so you pray that God would help us this morning. And I want to try to preach on something to encourage your heart today. I mean that. And something I hope will bless you and stir you up some and help you and encourage you along life's way. And I want to just use this verse as a jumping point to preach on the word that I want to preach on this morning for a little while. And so I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 17 and verse number 7. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 7 in the morning hour. Everybody has reached that place. We'll read that one verse of Scripture where Jeremiah reading said, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." That is wonderful. Amen. Whose hope the Lord is. The Lord is his hope. What a wonderful thought that we can rest upon today and kind of roll around in our heart and mind and consider that our hope can be in the Lord. And so let's bow our heads in prayer and we'll try to bring the thought that God has laid upon our heart. And like I said, I will be brief. I'm not feeling well and I will be brief. I assure you that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the privilege it's ours this morning to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the good Sunday school time, and certainly thank you for the good testimonies and the singing, the songs and the hymns and special music today, the fellowship we've enjoyed with God's people. Now, Lord, it's time to fellowship around the Word of God. And I pray you'd bless it to our hearts, open up the Scriptures to us, and give us understanding in them. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to put them to use in our life. I pray you'll bless every family that's here. We ask you to bless those that are sick and those that are away from us. Give them the grace and divine help they need. We thank you, Lord, for the good report from Mexico and all that's going on there. We ask you now to bless us and help us as your children. And we'll thank you and praise you for souls that save and the lives, Lord, that you change. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read that verse one more time where Jeremiah said, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Now, I want to preach a little while this morning, if God would help me, on the great virtue of hope. The great virtue of hope. I think sometimes as that great virtue that we have is ignored to some degree, and we put a greater emphasis on faith than we do on hope. And of course, we realize that we're saved by grace through faith. We understand that. But Paul also wrote in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, that a man is saved by hope. Amen. And so hope is a tremendous virtue, a wonderful virtue that we have. And it's sad if that virtue is ever lost in some way or we let it decline and move away from us. Now, let me say this in by way of introduction, that hope is that virtue that stands between faith and charity. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 13, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity." If you'll notice, there's no conjunction between those words in that verse. "Now abideth." That means they remain. They're there. "Now abideth." They're going to be there. They're just simply always going to be there in the life of a Christian to some degree. "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity." We understand that, no question about it, that love, the outworking of love, is the greatest virtue that we can have. Because that's what the Lord did when he died to save us. He loved us, and then he proved it by dying on Calvary and showing us the charity that he has for you and I. You know, sometimes faith and hope can become confused in the minds of people. And it's really hard to make a difference between those two virtues. And I'm sure there's gifted men, greater men than I, that could explain it to you a great deal better than I can. But I want to simply say that faith is trusting or believing the Lord for something that He has said or something that He has done. But hope is not exactly that. Hope is you and I hoping for something that we see not. Hope is trusting God or hoping that God will do something for us that's never been done before. It's an unseen thing. And so it's a great virtue. Hope appears to be like a magnet. It stands between faith on one side and charity on the other side. As I said, there's no "and" used as conjunction to connect these together. They all seem to be one. But it's that hope that seems to reach out in one direction and pull faith toward it, and the other direction and pulls charity toward it and brings them into one. It's much like our Lord Jesus Christ as our mediator. He is our mediator, by the way. And it's like He stands between God the Father and the Holy Ghost, and He draws the Father and the Holy Ghost together in one and reveals to us the one and the true God. And we do believe in one God. I've been accused of believing in three gods, but I don't believe in three gods. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And they're all three equal in attributes and power. But they're all one. My Father and I are one, the Lord Jesus said. And where Christ is our mediator between the Father and the Spirit and brings the Godhead together, He is the mediator of that Godhead that brings it together. And even so, hope is that mediator that brings our faith and our charity together within our life. And I want to say this one more time, that if we're actually saved by the marvelous grace of God, there will be a certain degree of these virtues in each one of us: faith, hope, and charity. They're more or less like the nine graces of the fruit of the Spirit. If you'll notice in the book, and I'm not going there, in Galatians, it does not say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance. And all these, in some degree, are really one fruit manifesting itself in nine different places within the heart and life of a Christian. And so it is with this word, with this virtue of hope. It's hope that gives our Christian life stability. It anchors us, and it prevents us from drifting from the Lord and drifting from our family and drifting away from the precious things of God. Paul the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 6:19, "Which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast." Amen. And I said that hope is that virtue that keeps us from drifting. Now, we thank God for faith and thank God for charity. But the Bible says that hope is like an anchor. Now, I've not done much fishing, but I know some of you men in here have been out on lakes, big lakes and smaller lakes. And some of you have been out when the fish are biting, and you've been out when the fish are not biting. And you can sit in that boat and get kind of drowsy-eyed. If you don't put down an anchor, you know what's going to happen to that boat you're in? It's going to start drifting a little way. And it'll drift, and it will drift so slow that you don't even realize it's drifting. But after a while, you'll snap up out of that sleepy spell you're in and realize that you're in the middle of the lake rather than paddling along around the shore. And that's the way it is in our Christian life. If we're not careful and forget the anchor of hope, we'll find ourselves drifting away from the shore rather than being drawn to the shore. I'm glad that we have hope as an anchor to the soul. And the Bible said that it is both sure and steadfast. It's not going anywhere. Hope is not going anywhere. Hope might be dwindled, but it'll never be lost completely. There's going to be some hope there within our lives throughout our entire life as an anchor. Now, that'll keep you in the house of God. That'll keep you faithful to your family. That'll keep you faithful to your Lord. That'll keep you faithful in the Bible. That'll keep you faithful to the Word of God and away from sin that would be like the magnet on the other end, drawing you away. Sin will do everything it can to draw you away from God and away from the spiritual life that the Lord has given you. But I'm glad that God's given us a hope that is sure and steadfast, that will hold us where we are and keep us where we are and maintain us where we are. You know, it's difficult to maintain the spiritual life without depending upon the Lord. This verse text that I read said, the Lord whose hope is the Lord. It didn't say whose hope is in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. He is our hope. In fact, He is everything for you and I. He's not only our hope, He's our righteousness. He is our justification. He is everything to you and I. The Lord is our hope. Now I want to say also that man's hope stands in Christ and Christ alone. The Bible said in Psalm 39:7, and now, Lord, what waiteth I for? My hope is in Thee. Our hope is in Thee. Hey, our hope is not in money. Our hope is not in man. But our hope is in the Master. Thank God. That's right. Our hope is in the Master. Now, I'm telling you, our world today is falling apart. But I'm glad that God's got His hand on everything. And if the world was to disintegrate this very minute, it wouldn't shake us one bit. Because we have a hope that is steadfast and sure. A hope that believes that our Lord is going to take care of us and bless us. That's right. And provide for us in all situations of life. Now I'm telling you, we ought not to let what's going on in the world around us or in our own country trouble us. Or we ought to let it pull us away from God. Lord, we have an anchor. Now today that anchor is not weighting us down, but thank God that anchor is behind the veil. And it ought to be tugging and pulling us up. I want to ask you something this morning. Do you have a greater desire today to go to heaven than you've ever had in your entire life? I'm amazed that people say, oh, I wish to God I could go to heaven today. And the first thing they do when they get sick and the doctor tells them they're in bad shape, they begin to cry, oh, God, deliver me, save me. They find out they may not be as ready to go to heaven as what they said they were. But I'm going to say we ought to be ready to go to heaven today, more today than we've ever been in our life. And that's that hope that we have in the Lord, that anchor that is pulling us in that direction. You know, hey, you know why it is? It's pulling us to Him. I'm glad that our hope will draw us to Christ. It won't push us away, but it will draw us to Christ in every situation. Are you sick today? Then let your hope be in Christ, who will draw you to Himself. Are you having problems today? Do you have troubles today? Then let that hope draw you to Christ. And it will. It won't shove you farther away from Him. It'll draw you closer unto Him. Hey, and have where you can have a more blessed fellowship with the Lord than you've ever had before in your life. Now, Job said in Job 33:12, the Word of God said, I will answer thee that God is only, that God is our only master. For Job 33:12 said, I will answer thee that God is greater than man. And how true He is. That's right. God is greater than man and can do a great deal more than what man. Even our text verse in Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. And I want you to notice again in this verse, we're not looking to the Lord to provide hope for us, but He alone is our hope. He is our hope. We ought to hope in Him in every situation of life, whether it be poverty of spirit or whether it be poverty of life itself. Oh, there's some that are poor in spirit and they're blessed to the Lord. And the reason they are is because they've set their hope in Him. Amen to God. I'm glad today that I can get up in the morning without fear or without worry of what's going to happen that day, because I've got an anchor that is behind the veil, anchored to Christ. Hey, and by the way, it holds me together with Him, and I want to thank the Lord and praise His wonderful name for that. Then I want to say also that hope is endless and is profitable in many areas of life. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 31, 17, and I'll get this straight here in a minute. He said that there is hope in the Lord, and in the end, there is hope in the end, saith the Lord, that thy children also shall come again to their own borders. There's hope in the end. Now that tells me that hope is going to be there with you right in the end. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to preach some on this. But I'm telling you, when you lay your head down on that deathbed and you're ready to go out to meet God, that hope that you have in the Lord will still be there. Death cannot, the thought of death or cannot separate you and I from that hope. Oh no. When we lay our head down on that deathbed and we're ready to go to meet Him, we can say with joy in our heart that we've been saved by the grace of God through faith, and He has given us a hope that has enabled us to love Him and to love those around us. And by the way, hope that stands in the middle will encourage our faith and give us the blessed help of loving those that are around us if hope is in its right perspective. Amen and amen. That's right. Hope is endless. Hope is endless. And it said it will come again. Our children will come again to their borders. Let me ask you something. How many in here today has lost hope in your children? Getting saved by the grace of God. I've got a little poem that my daddy and mama cut out and sent me years ago when they were both naturally still alive. And I've got it inside a little picture frame in the corner of it, sitting on my desk upstairs in a bedroom. And that little poem is entitled, "Are All the Children In?" Are All the Children In? And it goes on to talk about the children. Now I want to ask you something this morning. Hey, do you have hope in the Lord in saving your children? Or have you lost that hope and given up? I'm going to tell you what. Brother, I've got some hope today in the Lord of delivering my grandchildren that are lost and yet undone, delivering them by the power of God, setting them free from the curse of sin, giving them a hope of glory in their soul. That's right, anchoring them behind the veil where they too can enjoy the same blessings that their papa enjoys and will unto the end. That's right, that's right. That's right, it said, bring your children again to their borders. It'll be there in the end. You have that hope that God's saving your children, or have you given up? Then I'm telling you, there's nothing any more miserable than a man or a woman that has given up on God, on hoping that God will work in their life for them. Have you still got hope that God will send revival? I'm telling you, hey, it takes more than faith to have revival.
Right.
That's right. Faith can only come in revival when God promises that revival. But it is hope that reaches out into the unseen and takes hold of faith and draws it down into our heart, enabling us to trust God for that revival. Oh, I'd love to see a revival, wouldn't you? I'm still hoping God will send revival. I'm going to tell you something else. I don't know who that man was that called and talked about that $500,000. But praise God, I'm hoping He'll send it. Now, I don't have, God hasn't given me a promise to put my faith in that He will send it. I can't put my faith in man. He talked about it. My faith is not in a man. My faith is in the Master. But I can hope that He will. God's given us that hope. Different from faith that we can hope that some things will happen that we cannot foresee happening in our life. What a blessed thing to know. Amen. Now, I want to say that hope is like the wind. It's like the wind. Hope is endless and is profitable in many areas. I've said that. And hope is like the wind. You can't see it. You can't see the wind. I drove up the highway, Brother Doug and I, on Friday coming back from Murfreesboro, and that wind got to blowing. And I told Brother Doug, I said, we need to pull into this Cracker Barrel. Get a little bite to eat. I said, that's the same one Miss Hall and I hunkered down in several months ago when that tornado went through Lebanon. We pulled in there and hunkered down. Well, I couldn't see that wind, but I could tell those traffic lights when we had stopped, they were blowing up so high you couldn't even tell whether they were green or whether they were red. And you could look at the trees and see those trees swirling around and around. I couldn't see the wind, but I knew when the wind showed up. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. I knew when it showed up, I could tell what it was doing, and I knew what direction it was traveling in. Now, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, hope is like the wind. It's something that you cannot see. For Paul said in Romans, why hope for those things that you see? But we hope for those things that we see not. That's right. It's like the wind. You can't see it, but you can hope in it. You don't know. You'll know when it shows up, and you'll know what it accomplishes. And I'm going to tell you, you know what direction it's going in. And friend, if you know what direction hope is going in, you better move in that direction also. I don't want to ever lose that hope that God's given me down in my heart that I can continue loving Him and serving Him until the day that I die. Now, I wonder what kind of hope we got today. We got a hope of seeing our children saved. We got a hope of seeing revival. We got a hope of seeing the ministry grow. Let's not lose hope in those things. But I'm going to tell you, we lose hope, we'll be of all men most miserable. Losing hope in life will make us more miserable than anything that I could possibly think about. Losing hope in the ministry. Losing hope. I told Miss Hall, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something for God till the day I die. If it ain't no more than sitting in a chair and praying for men on the mission field, or praying for pastors that I know, or praying for my family that I know, praying for people I know. I've got that kind of hope in me that the Lord will enable me to do that even when it comes time for me to die. Now, I've got three things I want to say, and I'm done this morning. I want to say, number one, that we are alive by hope. Amen. We are alive by hope. Now, you'll get a hold of that after a while. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto what? Unto a lively hope. A living hope. It's alive. Hey, that tells me that we're alive. And how have we got that hope? By the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that verse goes on to say. We've got hope because He got out of the grave. That's why our hope lives. Amen. Because He got out of the grave. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the Bible said in 1 Peter, that we, in chapter 2, that we are lively stones. It talks about the Lord being a living stone, but we are lively stones. We're not dead stone. I'm not a dead rock. You're not a dead rock. You're a lively stone today. And building up a spiritual priesthood unto the Lord. Oh, I'm so glad I can say that today, that I'm alive. Amen. Had a fellow call me one time and said, hey, you need to get alive. I said, sir, I've got alive. I got it on September the 13th, 1970, when Jesus passed by where I was, saved me by His marvelous grace. Amen. And I was able to set my hope in the Lord. I've got alive. And I am. And I've got alive because I am alive today. Amen. Isn't that wonderful to know? That we're not dead in trespasses and sin. We're alive. We're a living stone. That tells me that the organism that the Lord is building is a living organism. It's not something that's dead. The church oughtn't to be something that's dead. It ought to be alive and vibrant. If we come in the house of God and we've been saved by grace through faith, And we've set our affection on things above. And our hope is on things that we have not seen God doing for us. And we've got charity and love one for another. Oh, I'm telling you, that ought to do wonderful things in my life and your life as well. Isn't that right? That's right. We're not dead. We're alive. We're a living stone. Thank God for that. And we're built upon a living stone. Jesus is alive. And because He's come out of the grave, He has given us that hope. And by the way, we're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. I'm getting ahead of myself. That great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, I'm telling you, I've got a blessed hope in Him today that when He comes, He's going to get me up out of the grave. Brother, I'm glad I've got more to look forward to than a hole in the ground. I saw on the news where some atheist on the internet, where some atheist heads up this group. They went to the Air Force and they want to put men and women in prison for treason that are trying to proselyte people into their faith. In other words, they're trying to stop them from witnessing about the grace of God. I'm telling you, I've got hope. I don't see how that man would have any right to say anything about anybody that's got faith in Christ or is hoping for God to do things in the lives of other people. He's a reprobate. He's a reprobate and lost and going to hell. That's right. Why would they even listen to somebody like that? I'm telling you, it discourages my heart to know that our country is headed in the direction that it's headed in, but it blesses my heart to know that because of the hope that God's given me, that I am headed in the direction that I'm headed in. Oh, man, this world's going in two different directions. It's drifting far from the shore. But I'm telling you, I'm anchored close up to the Rock of Ages. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. See that rock? As a mariner goes out on the sea, he gets drifting on those waves, and really like Paul in that Euryclidon, he can't see for the tempest that's laid upon him, but he's got a hope. He went down in that ship and began to pray. That hope will make you pray. I wonder what he was praying for. Well, he'd already been told back in Jerusalem by the Lord. He said, you're going to testify about me, Paul, in Rome. But here he is in a storm that is threatening his very life. He goes down into the ship. You know what he's doing? He's praying. He said, now, Lord, you told me that you was going to take me to Rome. And by faith, I believe what you said. And he said, I'm telling you, it's come to a place now where I'm hoping you're going to bring that to pass. I've got hope I'm going to get there. And I'm going to tell you what, by hope, Paul did get there. And he did testify in Rome. And he did preach the gospel in Rome. I'm telling you, hope is a wonderful thing for us. Oh, I'm telling you, I look at that new building back there. And I've got to tell you without a doubt, that it sets my heart on fire. I've not done a thing in there. Well, maybe a few things. But nothing worthy to talk about. But I'm going to tell you, walk in that new building. And you don't know how that my heart has longed to see something of that magnitude take place in my ministry and during my life. I don't know how much longer I've got to preach. And how much longer I've got to be with you. But oh, I'm telling you, I'm longing to see that building completed. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a state-of-the-art radio station. And I give God all the praise and all the glory for what He's done. And it'll be a wonderful day when we can walk in that building that's been built, sit down behind a microphone and say, hello, world. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, Have you lost hope? No, I've still got hope that it's going to be finished.
I'm longing to see the finished product. I've got hope that I'll see that finished product in that building. But I'm going to tell you even greater than that. I've got a hope that one of these days I'm going to see a finished product that the Lord, what the Lord's doing for me. And He's going to finish that work that He started in me a long time ago. And I've got hope that it's going to come to pass. Amen. That's right. Amen to God. That's right. Bless His wonderful name. Now, we're alive by hope. That Bible said in 1 Peter 2:5, ye also, as lively stones, we're not a dead rock. We're alive and a living part of God's spiritual house. Now, I want to say secondly, and not only are we alive by hope, but we're lifted by hope. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what do you mean lifted by hope? I look out at some of you all, and I'm honest before the Lord, and probably me as well. I'm probably as bad off as you are. And we'll go home today if we're not careful with carpet burns on our lower lip. We appear to be some of the saddest people in all the world. I mean, when the smile is gone. And it's not really a frown. It's just a look of discouragement that I see upon the faces of God's people. And I see it every morning when I look in the mirror. You know what? That's a tool of the devil. And he's using that tool very well to discourage his people, God's people. That tool of discouragement. But you know what our dear brother David said, and Brother Steve doing a wonderful job teaching on David and the life of David and Jonathan this morning. But you know what David said in Psalm 42? Oh, what a verse of scripture. When he said, oh, my soul, why art thou cast down? And why art thou disquieted in me? And then he lifted his eyes up toward heaven and said, hope thou in God. Talking to his own soul, he said, hope thou in God. Amen. That's right. He was discouraged. And hey, he admitted the fact. He said, I am cast down. I am discouraged. But he said, why am I so cast down? Hope thou in God. You know, he had hope of lifting his countenance. And he said, went on to say, when he looked on the countenance of the Lord, his countenance was lifted. Amen, that's right. It's like Brother Josh said a while ago. He was glad to see Nashville. He was hoping all the way down there and all the way back that he'd make the flight. Miss Ruth told me it was a little rough. A little bit rougher than the ones that we took the last time. Now, they probably had a little hope in the Lord of making it back. When they got to Nashville, they were real happy, ladies and gentlemen, that they had gotten there. Amen. Hope, that wonderful, wonderful name. They were may have been discouraged while in the air. I'm going to tell you that hope lifted them. How many times has it lifted you? How many times has something happened in your life that it's just like someone has stuck a dagger in your heart? It's let the wind out of your sail. That you become so discouraged that you felt like quitting on God or quitting on your family. I'm telling you, I'm afraid there's a lot of people today that have really contemplated on quitting on their own family. A wife quitting on her husband or a husband quitting on the wife. Why should we do that? Hope thou in God. Why is your soul so cast down? Hope thou in God. Oh, I'm telling you. Miss Hall and I are headed into our 47th year. And I don't know what if I make it to 50. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest. I don't like to fly no near airplane. I'm going to take a flight one day where no near airplane be involved in it. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm contemplating maybe on going to Hawaii. You know, I read the other day where out of the top, Kentucky is in the top five states in the union for depression. It's in the top. It's number three. West Virginia's there. Would you believe Massachusetts is one of them? Out of the top five. You know what the top state is for people being happy? Hawaii! Now I want to ask you something. if climate and wind and water can make people happy, you praise God, tell me why Jesus cannot make you and I happy. If man can get happy over the elements of life, surely we can get happy over what Christ has done in our life and have hope that He's going to continue that work until that glorious day when He calls us home to be with Him. That's right. And I want to say lastly, we're laid in the grave in hope. That's right. The Bible said in Colossians 1:27, to whom God, and I'm going to tell you, I had such a hard time writing this down yesterday, I thought I was going to die before we got done. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles. Get this now. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I wonder what that means, the hope of glory. I'm going to tell you what it means. It means glorification. That we're laid in that grave in hope of glorification. That although the skin worms, the worms should destroy this body, we have a hope, yes, sir, being laid in that grave that someday we're going to get up. Amen. So therefore, we're laid in that grave in hope. And by the way, when Joseph died down in the land of Egypt, the Bible said they put him in a coffin. And you don't have to take my word for it. You go home and get your Strong and look up that Hebrew word coffin. You know what it means? It means the same thing some of these girls has got right now. They're putting little odds and ends in this little box. Maybe a cedar chest. And you know what they call that cedar chest? A hope chest. You know what that coffin is called? A hope chest. They put Joseph down in a coffin because he had hope. Had hope. He said, don't you leave my bones down here. He had hope someday of getting back to Canaan. But I'm going to tell you, his hope reached far beyond Canaan. Amen. His hope reached up into heaven. That someday them bones that they laid in that grave would someday be glorified by the power of God. And he had hope in Christ in doing that. That he could face the grave without worry and without fret. Having enough hope within his heart to believe that God would raise him up. Now, I've got a couple of verses here I want to read, if I can find them. I can find Proverbs real quick. I want to read this for you. Proverbs 14, and I believe chapter verse number 32. I might be going in the wrong direction. Proverbs 14 and 32. I can find that here in just a minute. Lord, help me. Proverbs 14 and verse number 32, where the Bible said, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. In his death. That means on your dying bed, he can have hope in his death. Let's get a hold of that, church. You know what? You're going to think I'm a fool. But I'm going to tell you what I think the Lord just told me. That when we're dead, after we're dead, we have hope. Ain't that what it said? In our death. Amen. Somebody said, well, we're dead. Oh, no! When you die, you're not dead. Your body is asleep in a grave. But your soul is muchly alive in the presence of God. So that hope don't end at the grave. That hope goes on with us to glory. That hope that we have, we've got a hope that someday God will raise this old mortal body of clay that is corruptible and it'll put on incorruption. And immortality will put on life. Amen. We'll be raised incorruptible from that grave. And we have that hope in death. God help us. What a wonderful thought that is. Then 1 Peter 2:13. I want to read that. Wrong verse. I've got the wrong verse on that. Not 1 Peter 2:13. First Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and what? Hope to the end. Amen. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, now let's get a hold of that and I'm closing. For the grace that's going to be brought to you. Boy, we talk about the grace of God now. And it's wonderful. Isn't it wonderful? And favor. But what about the favor God's going to show us at the revelation of Jesus Christ? Now, the revelation is not the rapture. The revelation is 7 years after the rapture when He reveals Himself. Oh, what a day that's going to be. What grace that's going to be. You know why? Because God is going to show favor to the whole world. He's going to show favor to you and I that are saved by the grace of God. I believe the whole world is going to recognize that God has not only got His hand on us, but He's had our hand on us, for His hand on us for a long time. What favor, what grace at the revelation of Christ when it comes. I don't know about you, but I've got hope today. And I trust that you have. I don't want to ever lose that hope. I don't want to ever leave that hope. I don't want to ever leave it behind. I want to continue hoping in glorious things until the end. Someday it will end here, but it'll never end for the child of God, for we shall live forever. I've got that hope in my heart today. Let's stand together.